Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce the four panellists who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Peter Jones and Paul Merton, who've played the game quite a number of times, Stephen Fry, who's played it a few times, and Jan Ravens, who's only played it once before. But would you please welcome all four of them? Miriam Jones sits beside me with a whistle and a stopwatch. She'll keep the score, blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up, and I will ask our four panellists to speak in turn, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that, as usual, without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. Paul Merton, would you begin the show, and the subject which I'm sure has been specially chosen for you, metalwork. You have mentioned it more than once in your professional life. Will you tell us something about it now in 60 seconds, starting now?
It is true that between the ages of 13 and 15, I attended metalwork lessons, both theory and practical. At the end of this particular exercise, I gained CSE ungraded in the subject, which is extremely good because it was quite clear that no amount of knowledge had found its way into my brain at all. I didn't want to do metalwork, but unfortunately I didn't have the French, and so I had to do this rather arcane little subject. I can't see what the point of it was. I had no intention of becoming a blacksmith when I left school, and since then I've not really used it in any practical way. I think purely because I was completely...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He hesitated a bit, I think.
I did, yes.
You did, yes. Peter, you have got a correct challenge, which is a point to you, of course. 23 seconds are left. Metalwork starting now.
I remember my daughter was taught metalwork when she was at school because the boys were being coached in cooking and needlework in a vain effort to try to make everybody the same. And she made a very nice coat hook, which we still have in use. But that is all. 2 years it took altogether. You can't hang a hat on it. It's only got the single curve. Nevertheless.
When the whistle goes, it tells us that 60 seconds are up. And whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones, who's the only one to have scored in that round. So, Peter, you're in a strong lead. Stephen Fry, will you take the next round? Achilles' heel. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, of course, the background of the Achilles' heel was the Greek hero Achilles, whose mother Thetis dipped him in the waters of Lethe, also known as the liquids of forgetfulness, in order to protect him. However, her hand held his heel as he was submerged in this rushing torrent. Therefore, the part that was not covered in the fluid was vulnerable, totally open to attack. The rest of him was impenetrable and impermeable. It therefore fell out during the Trojan War that Paris, one of the Iliad heroes, of course...
Paul Merton challenge.
Unfortunately, hesitation.
Yes. Got a point, you've got the subject.
Well, it was very good, but it was, yes. It was a shame.
You got... It was.
It was going so well.
29 seconds, Achilles' heel, starting now.
My Achilles' heel is that I find Nicholas Parsons intensely sexually attractive. When I look over there at that blazer and that tie, his hair, the glasses, everything about him says, take me. I don't know what it is. I go home at night, I see these visions of this erstwhile chairman coming towards me, the silvery glints in his eyes beckoning...
Stephen Fry, you've challenged.
This is not an Achilles heel, this is a strength.
It is.
Whose strength?
I share. I find it arms me for the day.
Jan, you wish to say something.
I wish to say this is deviation on the part of both of them in a bit.
You don't share that feeling.
I'm not ashamed that Nicholas
Sadly,
is my favourite Fortissimo fantasy.
No.
I think it's something to be very proud of.
I beg to differ, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right, Jan. Everybody to their own. Paul, 6 seconds on Achilles' heel, starting now.
I suppose my Achilles' heel is that I...
Stephen Fry.
Did he hesitate?
Yes, I was going to say that, yes.
Yes. Stephen, 3 seconds to tell us something about your Achilles heel starting now.
And the arrow went straight into Achilles' heel and he perished.
Well, after that round, I don't know whether I'm going to quite be able to carry on. You never know. Especially some of the letters I might get from people abroad who've never seen me.
They've probably got a very odd view of you in China, haven't they?
I know. Yeah. And do you know something very interesting? They take the programme over there in order to model their English, and I want to know who they're modelling it on. Might have little Paul Mertens coming over here with Chinese accents right now.
Well, I look forward to that rather unlikely event unfolding in front of my eyes.
Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is wrong numbers. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I think I must have a wrong number. Now, this is absolutely true because 5 times in the last 2 weeks I've had messages on the answering machine asking for a male stripper. Now, my wife has encouraged me to go and apply for this job. But they haven't made me an offer I can't refuse. In fact, I've not been in conversation with these ladies. All of them were females. But, you see, I've done a lot of things like carry on.
And Stephen Fry.
Sorry, it was a reflex from my thumb. It was so interesting. It seemed a bit hesitant there.
He was definitely
hesitant.
Yes,
it's a rather delicate subject, you know.
What worried me, Peter, was you thought of all the things you'd done and you dried up.
So would you if you'd done some of the things I've done.
Stephen, the correct challenge, 34 seconds, wrong numbers, starting now.
I'm always getting a wrong number. I ring up Peter Jones, the department store in Chelsea, and ask for a male stripper, and I get this very baffled man saying that he doesn't think I've called the right place. Can't understand it. So I've had to switch my allegiance to another store whose number I have corrected.
Jan, you've challenged.
Repetition of store.
There were 2 stores. Well, listen, Jan, yes, you have a correct challenge. There are 19 seconds for you to tell us something about wrong numbers, starting now.
It's only too easy to phone a wrong number. For example, if one were to try and contact the emergency services and dial 987, that would be incorrect. And also, if one were to try and get in touch with directory inquiries and ring 132, one...
Jan Ravens was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so. And Jan, it's your turn to begin. The subject, hares. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, hares, of course, is a most thorny problem for women, the superfluous variety, which one has to try and get rid of for some reason we don't quite know why. Electrolysis is one way of ridding oneself of superfluous...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of one.
Yes, there was too many ones, I'm afraid.
Too many ones.
Yes. Paul, will you tell us something about hares? There are 47 seconds, starting now.
I can't think of hares without thinking of the silk...
Stephen Fry challenge.
Terrible mistake, I do apologise. So sorry.
Could happen to anybody.
Carry on.
Sort of. But if you interrupt someone, that person gets a point.
Oh, quite right, yes. No, right. You should pay for my
mistake.
So
Paul has another point. Hares is still the subject. 44 seconds, starting now.
I have a friend of mine who breeds electric hares, specially for the greyhound tracks. And what he does is he gets hold of the hare and he mates it with a battery, and it can be 12 volts or 15 of that particular measurement, and he takes them to the stadium.
Stephen Fry,
two takes there.
There were two takes, yes, he was taking too much there. 30 seconds are left for hares with you, Stephen, starting now.
I've only met two hares. One was David Hare, who's a well-known playwright. The other was Doris Hare, who's a marvellous old actress. Used to be on the buses, of course. I was in a play with her. Of the two hares, I couldn't really say who was my favourite. They're both super people. Of course, there's the animal, which is rather like a rabbit. Hares come out apparently in March and are rather lunatic or deranged in some fashion. Again, one doesn't quite understand why. There was a great mad hare march of that month. A strange word order.
So, Jan, you got in first then. Repetition of March. 7 seconds for you on hares, starting now.
There is...
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
It's a way.
You could have parked a bus in that.
Well, I don't think she has it enough to lose it. But do get moving a bit quicker, Jan. 6 seconds for hares, starting now.
There are some barbaric types that indulge in a practice called hare coursing, which involves two dogs chasing a hare down a burrow or something. Paul
Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, rather aptly, that's come up is China. So will you tell us something about China in this game, starting now?
I believe that China is a country just outside Romford in Essex. And here the Chinese people live happily and gaily. They sing and dance in the streets and congratulate themselves that they are living so close to Western civilization. Of course, China is also a place that's somewhere out there where they pick up just a minute and they... Oh.
Jan Ravens, your challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, 40 seconds for you to tell us something about China, starting now.
Pretty China is something that I love to collect at antique fairs. I go and buy cups, saucers, plates, bowls, all with lovely designs like Clarice Cliff from the Art Deco period as a very nice type of china with little houses and flowers and yellow backgrounds and that sort of thing.
Stephen Fry.
Well, I think I'm really...
I think it's pretty...
Hesitation. Yes. China's with you, Stephen. There are 20 seconds left, starting now.
Of course, bones. China is so-called because bits of ossified material of animal nature were, in fact, inserted into the mix which tried to reproduce the genuine China which had been imported from the place that is now the People's Republic of China, but was then, of course, a series of kingdoms and part of an empire, and it was generally supposed...
Peter Jones had challenged.
He said and
He did yes. say and Yes, well, listen, Peter. 2 seconds. You've got in just before the whistle on China, starting now.
Worcester, Minton, Spode. There,
Peter Jones speaking as the whistle end gained the extra point. He's still in third place, and Jan Raven's still in the lead. And Stephen Fry, your turn to begin. The subject is quacks. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Quacks, well, word meaning charlatans, I suppose, isn't it? Sort of fraudulent doctors, that kind of thing. Also the noise that a duck makes. It goes quack like that, I believe. I never actually heard it. It usually goes quack like that. Quite the same thing. However, there have been many famous mountebanks in history who've tried to put one over various people. And they, the word quacks really sort of covers them, I suppose, doesn't it? Do you know, I'm getting awfully bored with this. I can't think of anything else to say.
So, Jan, challenge
I just
you.
Felt I had to get him out of it
yes,
somehow.
You've helped him. 39 seconds, Jan. Quacks, starting now.
A lot of quacks are said to be in the field of alternative medicine, which is sometimes called complementary, which doesn't mean that your doctor says, you look very well today and you instantly feel better. It's a sort of adjunct to the mainstream.
And Stephen challenged.
Bit of an R there.
27 seconds quacks with you, Stephen, starting now.
Well, placebos are often given by all kinds of apparently respectable doctors and often seem to work. In this sort of snake oil days...
Paul Merton challenged.
Repetition of often.
Often, yes, you had often too often there.
Did I?
Yes.
God,
19 seconds for you, Paul, on quacks, starting now.
I had a pet duck when I was about 14 that used to console me when I came back from school and said, this metal work is just not going into my head. I don't understand any of it. And the duck would look me sadly.
Stephen challenged.
Two ducks.
Yeah, two ducks.
Yes, two ducks. 7 seconds, Stephen. Quacks, starting now.
Very common in the American West for people to go around in wagons trying to sell patent medicines of one kind or another which contain nothing more usually than sugar, these people.
So Stephen Fry was speaking as the whistle went, gained other points in the round, and he's moved forward into the lead, one ahead of Jan Ravens, and then Peter Jones and Paul Merton are equal in third place. Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is vermouth. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Vermouth, or vermouth, as it's often called in America, is an indispensable part of the great classic cocktail, the dry martini. 5 parts of gin or vodka to 1 of vermouth makes a very nice drink. I prefer it shaken rather than stirred, as Ian Fleming advocated, because if it's put into a shaker with lumps of ice, a little water gets into it, and it's not quite as strong. It doesn't anesthetize you in quite the same way as it would if you had it neat. Now, the Ian Fleming... Oh.
Yes, I think you actually wet all their sort of saliva. You know, their...
Wet our saliva?
No, I'm sorry.
That's a good thing you can do it.
What are, yes. you what are they going to make of that phrase in China?
Salivating at the mouth is the word I was saying.
You That's set right, their, yes.
You set their sort
as
of
appetite... salivating at the elbow, I suppose.
No wonder they're a confused country over there.
Right, 24 seconds for you, Stephen, on vermouth starting now.
W.C. Fields advocated as the perfect martini to take a bottle of vermouth or vermouth and remove the lid and wave it over a glass filled with gin and then replace the stopper. That way it was dry enough. Of course, vermouth derives from...
Paul Merton Chalmers.
Hesitation?
I think so, yes, Paul. 9 seconds for you to tell us something about vermouth starting now.
I suppose of all my favourite alcoholic drinks, and I have quite a few, my...
Stephen Chalmers.
I just thought it was such a tedious way to begin a sentence. it's probably wrong of me. I begin them just as tediously.
Paul Merton, 4 seconds on vermouth starting now.
So there I was, hanging by my fingertips on the edge of Niagara Falls, when suddenly a huge glass of vermouth...
Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle wind, gained the extra point. He's now equal with Jan Ravens in second place. Stephen Fry's in the lead, and Jan, it's your turn to begin. The subject is oracles. Can you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Oracles are people to tell you what is going to happen in your life. The most famous, of course, was in Delphi, the Greek oracle called Pythia, who was addressed by the people of Greece. No, I haven't got a lisp. And she would tell them what was going to happen, what would they should do politically. And when they were in their huge program of colonization, she would give them advice on what to do next. She would give the advice. I got the only man.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of give.
Yes. Right, well, listen, Paul, 35 seconds, oracle, starting now.
The man who lived next door to me when I was 7 years old was considered by the rest of the neighbourhood a bit of an oracle. He had these magic underpants that could predict the future. So what he would do is you go round his house and he'd take out these pair of pants and he'd say, I see a big dark man in the corner. And it usually turned out to be a policeman because we all knew what he was up to. People when they're sort of local characters, you tend to sort of like chivvy them along because you don't really want to get too involved. I remember one court case he went to where he suddenly said to the judge, he said, look, he said, I know exactly what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. And the judge says, I know what's going to happen to you in the next 10 years, you're going to prison. And that's what, I don't know, I said judge twice, I know.
Stephen, your challenge.
Yeah, no, I just thought I'd time it after the punchline, Alex and Joe, but there was a couple of happens and a couple of gives. And
that's right,
it was brilliant.
3 seconds for oracles.
Oh! Three
well,
seconds.
Yeah,
it's not fair, is it?
God,
really, right. Spine. Well, give him a bonus point, because he did get a lot of laughs and didn't even wait for them. Right. 3 seconds with you, Stephen. Oracle starting now.
One of the best names was the Cumaean Sibyl, of course, who was Greek as well. And the...
So Stephen Fry got a point for speaking as the whistle went, and Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, temper. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
There is a process in the course of metalwork that's called tempering, but unfortunately I don't know what it is because, as I say, I got CSE ungraded. But I suppose it's also a phrase or a word, rather, because it's not really what I said earlier.
Jan, really?
I sort of hesitation, I think.
No, deviation, yeah. But I don't think he really hesitated.
Went a bit sort of blah.
Well, I can't help my impediment.
No, I don't think so, Jan. I'm sorry. 45 seconds starting now.
I suppose it could.
Stephen Fry, chance.
Second, I suppose. He's
you did say, I suppose.
No.
Yes. 44 seconds for you, Stephen, on temper, starting now.
I used to have an incredibly short temper, as they're called, i.e. I lost it very fast. Why that should make it short, I've no idea. I've repeated short.
Short. A pair of shorts.
Yes, two shorts. Jan, 38 seconds for you on temper, starting now.
Some people are of a very sanguine temper, which means that they are very hopeful, optimistic, not pessimistic. And some people are very aggressive.
Paul Merton challenge.
Sorry. Some people?
Some people, yes. Paul, you have it back.
It's a difficult game.
No.
30 seconds. Temper, Paul, starting now.
I suppose... I've got to get firmer opinions.
That is the third one.
Yeah.
29 seconds, temper, Stephen, starting now.
Tempered steel is something to which Paul made reference, or at least in that area he made some kind of allusion. I don't know what it means either. We're both perfectly ignorant on the idea of tempering metals of any kind. However, it's something to do with testing, because, of course, that's the origin of the word, isn't it? It's the same as temptation. It actually comes from the same source as that word that I've just mentioned, which is reasonably fascinating if you're in any way elucidated by that kind of nonsense. I'm beginning to drivel, which is a shame, because temper is the subject on the card, and I must refer to it at all times. Haven't done so much so far, but temper is also...
I don't know word dribbling, but you increased your lead at the end of that round, and you begin the next round. The subject is getting into hot water. That's a nice subject. Will you tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
I was always getting into hot water with my Latin master at school until they sacked him, which is a shame, because I liked communal baths. However, this is really something which... Paul's made mention of the same kind of idea at his school. It's obviously a concurrent problem which we must be dealing with urgently.
Paul Merton challenge.
I'm sorry, I can't hear a word he's saying. No.
It's embarrassment, I'm afraid.
You've suddenly abandoned consonants like they never existed.
He was speaking so quietly, I don't think he even heard himself what he was saying. Oh, Paul, you have 44 seconds to tell us something about getting into hot water, starting now.
You have to be very careful when you've filled your bath with hot water to make sure that it's not too hot for you to get into. A lot of people employ the elbow method where they...
Stephen Fry-Chan.
Nobody employs the elbow method. I happen to know that. Some people employ the elbow method.
Stephen. I said elbow, didn't I?
My mother is recording this.
No, I think he was close enough to elbow, even if it wasn't exactly sounded
he
that way.
He doesn't know his elbow from no, that's, any other things.
We won't go any further on the radio. Right, 34 seconds, getting into hot water. Paul, starting now.
When you cook lobster, it's essential to get this particular unfortunate crustacean into lots of hot water, so you get hold of a water source.
Stephen Fry challenge.
Get.
Yes, you were getting too much
there. At least you could hear every word.
Getting into hot water.
Even if I can't pronounce them properly.
Stephen, getting into hot water, 25 seconds, starting now.
I have a very sensitive skin and find it difficult to get into hot water without burning or scalding myself. Therefore, I take great pains to test the temperature of the bath fluid in order to maintain a decent 140 Fahrenheit degree heat. It is not necessary for it to be...
Paul Merton challenge.
Isn't that way above boiling?
No.
Did I
140 degrees Fahrenheit? No, 180 Fahrenheit.
I said Fahrenheit.
Oh, well, I took a wild chance there.
So it was incorrect challenge, Stephen. 2 seconds on getting into hot water, starting now.
I should be getting into hot water with my mother for pretending that she's recording this, because, of course...
So Stephen Fry was again speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is, what's in my fridge? Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
You mean your fridge or my fridge?
Peter, after 28 years, you know you can take the subject whichever way you like, my fridge or your fridge.
That's what's... an assignation, your place or mine.
Then let's get back onto that, especially as Paul's vying for my attentions as well.
Vying? I didn't know there was a queue.
Oh, dear, I'll never get out of this one. Right. There are 60 seconds, Peter. Take the subject whichever way you like. What's in my fridge, starting now?
Well, not very much, really, because I'm supposed to do some shopping in the morning, but there are some cubes of ice ready to make a dry martini. Unfortunately, no gin or vodka. But I'm hoping, if I get home early enough, there will be about a quarter of a bottle of white wine if my wife hasn't drunk it. She's not recording this programme, never has, and doesn't. But there is a little pot of olive pate, there's some pesty sauce, there's a few eggs.
Jan Raven's challenge.
Repetition of theirs.
Theirs.
Oh, yes.
Jan, well, listen, 34 seconds. What's in my fridge, starting now?
I have a photograph of my young baby son opening the door of my fridge and revealing what's inside it, and so I can remember very easily what is there. There's some pasta from Safeways, there's some basil, there's some cheese, and I'm repeating theirs.
Peter, you challenge.
I challenge myself again.
The same thing.
Peter, there's again. Back with you. 20 seconds. What's in my fridge, starting now?
Well, we have an ice compartment, and there are a few...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of ice.
You had some ice right at the beginning.
That's right,
yes. That's right. 18 seconds for you to tell us something about what's in my fridge, Paul, starting now.
Lord Lucan.�
We give Paul a bonus point for his remark because it was a classic one, and he gets a bonus for that.
And then he hesitated, waited for the laugh.
I was riding the laugh.
Riding the laugh. You just decided to retire on the laugh.
A lot of people have retired on less, I can tell you.
I know, I will grant you that.
A lot of people should have done, Nicholas. No.
Yes. That wasn't fair, Stephen. No, I was just about to pay the compliment of saying it was a laugh worth retiring on, Paul. So, but...
Oh, is he retiring?
Yes.
Not so as you've noticed. I've...
It seemed to be very busy.
It was so good, we thought he could retire.
I was asked when I was going to retire the other day. And I said, I usually do just after news at 10. What?
Give Peter a bonus point too. And 5 seconds on what's in my fridge, Peter, starting now.
A lot of odd things that we have to use up fairly soon. They're beyond their sell-by or even edible date, I think.
Well, at the end of that round, Stephen Fry is still in the lead, only just ahead of Paul Merton and then Jan Ravens and Peter Jones in that order. And this is the last round coming up. And, Jan, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, euphemisms. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Euphemisms are what people use when they don't want to say what they really mean. So if, for example, people are dying, they might say...
Stephen Fry challenge you,
People are.
There were people, I'm afraid, Jan.
People all over the place.
I know. 54 seconds, euphemisms with you, Stephen, starting now.
It's a characteristic of the modern right-wing journalist to moan at euphemisms all the time, isn't it? And go on about how we have to have rodent operators instead of rat catchers and so on. I suppose they are rather irritating, because I prefer people to say I'm sitting on the bog, not... something like I'm on the unnecessary or whatever it is. I think, you know, if I see a spade, I call it just that. And that's my way, and I don't apologise for it. But
I suppose the other... Jan Raven's challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid so. He was riding the laugh then, I think. So. 28 seconds, euphemisms. Back with you, Jan, starting now.
Actors use euphemisms a lot. When they go and see each other backstage, they are very wont to say, "Darling, you were marvellous," when really they thought they were crap. Or, "Well, what about you?" Or maybe, "That was very brave," or something of that sort. Politicians use euphemisms. They are apt to say...
Stephen Fry challenge.
A couple of uses in there.
Yes, the uses, yes, the actors and politicians. Stephen, you've got...
Taskmaster Stephen.
9 seconds to go euphemisms, starting now.
Jan calling me a hard taskmaster is a euphemism for meaning I'm a sodden old bastard, I think. If I'm reading of the situation, then she has every reason to use that sort of euphemism because I am just...
Well, as I said a few seconds ago, that was to be the last round, and I will now give you the final score. Peter Jones, who has triumphed many times... He came in fourth place, but he was just behind Jan Ravens, who's only played the game once before. She was a few points behind Paul Merton, who's played it frequently. But Stephen Fry, who's played it a limited number of times, has once again excelled and got most points. So we say he is the winner, Stephen Fry. We do hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of Stephen Fry, Paul Merton, Peter Jones and Jan Ravens, thank you very much. And also on behalf of Miriam Jones, who has been keeping the score, blowing the whistle, our creator of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Sarah Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll be with us when we once more play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us, goodbye.